would see Jesus. So as we turn to your word now, we pray that in those words we would meet him. And we pray in his name. Amen. Do have a seat. So there's a saying about preaching, an adage about preaching, that the purpose of preaching is to comfort the troubled and trouble the comfortable. So the purpose of a sermon is to comfort the troubled and trouble the comfortable. Are you sitting comfortably? It feels like there's been quite a lot of troubling, challenging lessons that we've been learning from our readings over these past few weeks of Lent. Can a sermon be both troubling and comforting? That would be quite a paradox, wouldn't it? In other words, that would be something which, you know, if you were to think logically about it, it kind of contradicts itself, or it kind of defies our normal expectations. But a paradox is exactly what we do find in this week's gospel reading. There's a regiment in the British Army, the Royal Lancers. Anybody heard of them? The Royal Lancers, a British Armoured Cavalry Regiment, and they have a very famous cap badge, if anybody knows what it is. Who wasn't at the first service, Barry? It's a skull and crossbones, and it represents the motto, anybody guess? Death or glory. Death or glory. Presumably they shouted that as they went over the top. Death or glory. But in our gospel reading, we see the path that Jesus is on is paradoxically not death or glory, but death and glory. We've been thinking, haven't we, from Psalm 25 over these weeks, Lord, teach me your ways, show me your ways, teach me your paths. And so we find that following Jesus on his path means wrestling with that paradox, that conflicting sort of message of death and glory, death and life, losing one thing in order to gain another, troubling and comforting. So our passage starts with the arrival of some Greeks, in other words, Gentiles. They're not Jews, but they have come to worship in Jerusalem for the Passover, so they're probably God-fearing Gentiles. Now, remember, a couple of weeks ago, we were thinking about the temple, and these Gentiles would only have been allowed in the outer courts of the temple. They wouldn't have been able to go any further into the most holy places. And yet Jesus has said, I'm going to pull this stone temple down and in 3 days build it again. And John tells us by that he meant his own body. Jesus is like saying, I'm going to replace this temple. And so here these people come who would not have been allowed into that holy of holy places, and yet they come expectantly to meet the new temple. And there's no evidence that Jesus doesn't welcome them. This is evidence of the new thing that God is doing through his Son, creating a new and living way for all to come into the holiest of places, the very presence of God himself. And Jesus reacts by announcing rather dramatically, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Up to now in John's Gospel, Jesus has kept saying, no, my time is not now. My time is not now. But the arrival of these Greeks signals something. Signals the widening of Jesus' mission beyond the confines of Israel. We've seen him minister to non-Jews in the shape of Samaritans, but this takes it to a new level. And Jesus knows that the news of what is about to unfold over the next few days, the news of his death and glory, will begin to travel much further. his being lifted up on the cross really will draw all people to him. And so it's like in that moment he recognizes, okay, the moment has come. The Greeks say they want to see Jesus. And in John's gospel, seeing most often means believing. He kind of links those things really closely together. Seeing is not just about physical vision, but about spiritual perception. So when these people ask to see Jesus, there is that sense that they are spiritually searching. They're not just there for a sort of theological debate, as the Pharisees often were when they went to see Jesus. Maybe these Greeks were in Jerusalem when they witnessed that astonishing entrance of Jesus into the city, with the crowds waving their palm branches and hailing him as the one who'd come in the name of the Lord. Maybe they've heard rumors that are starting to spread that he'd raised his friend Lazarus from the dead. And so they come hoping to encounter and wanting to believe in the one who comes from God and who has the power of life in him. The first step of anyone wanting to follow Jesus' path is seeing him, truly seeing him, having our spiritual eyes open to who he is and what he's done for us. Not just to observe, but to understand the love that drove him to bear the pain of the cross for us. That desire to truly see Jesus, though, I don't think that's just for those perhaps dipping their toe in and exploring faith. It's for all of us, no matter how long we've been following Jesus. It's not an easy path sometimes, is it? I think from time to time, we all need a fresh, renewed vision of Jesus to keep us going, to remind us why we persevere, to give us fresh energy for our journey. I think it's a perfectly wonderful prayer for all of us to ask at any point in our journey of faith. Lord, I really, really want to see Jesus again or afresh. What a wonderful prayer that is for any of us to pray. The hour that Jesus speaks of, that defining moment that he now knows is upon him, is not just the sort of the chronological moment of the time that the Greeks arrive. It's the culmination of Jesus' mission and the whole chain of events that will now unfold, leading to his death and glory. And Jesus explains what will happen by talking about seeds and servants. And he uses a short parable to explain his death. The seed dies in order to live and to generate more life. Death and life are paradoxically part of the same process for Jesus. And it's the paradox, the mystery of the cross, isn't it? That this symbol of death and suffering and shame becomes the path, the doorway to life and hope and salvation. Jesus' death is not an end, it's a beginning. Notice that one seed dying produces many seeds. As one seed, Jesus' death produced the millions and millions and millions of seeds who have been his followers, his disciples, through the ages and today. But then he goes on to include his followers in this paradox of dying and living. They too are seeds that must die. It's the same challenging message in a way that we've heard a few weeks ago, that Jesus' followers are called to take up their own cross and enter into this mystery, this paradox, where we discover that putting Jesus first is actually more satisfying, more joyful, more life-giving than the other things that we cling to, when we cling to having our own way and our own agendas fulfilled and our own wants and desires. It's in losing ourselves to Jesus that we truly find him and ourselves. As his followers, we're called to be his servants too. And we serve him by embodying his example of self-giving, sacrificial, hope-bringing, love and compassion and mercy. In doing that, we can be those seeds that carry on that seeding process, those who transform the suffering and the shame of others that they endure, not only by serving them with love and compassion, but also by introducing them to the God of resurrection, who can bring forgiveness and hope and healing and new life into the darkest situations. It's very easy for all of that to sound rather glib if we're not careful. And I don't think Jesus allows us to be glib. If you read how Jesus feels about all of this, he admits that his soul is troubled. Does he really have to go through with this? The way of the cross is never easy. Some, like Jesus, in other countries may be called upon to make the ultimate sacrifice for their faith. But even for those of us who are spared that, you know, the sacrifices can still be painful sometimes. The sacrifice of maybe living somewhere or taking a job that we might not have chosen for ourselves, really. Spending less time with family than we would like. Giving sacrificially to other things rather than spending money on ourselves. Being generous with our time and our gifts in ways that we serve others rather than ourselves. And if none of that sort of troubles you in any way, or the thought of that doesn't, you don't trouble yourselves with thinking about that, then maybe we really do need to ask to see Jesus more clearly again and fully appreciate what he has done for us. Because as we see how truly hard it was for Jesus, we gain a fresh appreciation, don't we, of the depth of his love for us as he rejects the easy way out and instead he chooses to follow that path that his Father has set for him, the path to the cross. His deep love for us and his all-consuming desire to bring glory to his Father keep him going. And he receives that wonderful affirmation from heaven, that promise of glory. So as followers of Jesus, seeing, serving, and seeding, they all go together. As we truly see Jesus, place our faith in him, he calls us to serve him, and to be those seeds which sort of die to self and selfishness in order to see many other seeds come to fruition. And in doing that, we give glory to our Father as well. So the Christian faith is full of these contradictions, these paradoxes, isn't it? Things that seem contradictory, things that don't make sense. The last shall be first. The meek will inherit the earth. Love your enemies. Know that your neighbour is actually the last person on earth you would have thought of. But perhaps, you know, the greatest mystery of them all is that death and glory do go together. That the way of sacrifice is really the way to life itself, real life, abundant life, eternal life. Death and glory went together for Jesus, and they go together for us too as we seek to follow his path. Because on the last evening that Jesus had with his friends, he prayed for them, and he prayed for those who would follow them and come after them. And he says to his Father, I've given them the glory that you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them just as you've loved me. How amazing is that? We may be called to share in Christ's sufferings, but as those who see and follow Jesus, we get to share in his glory too. So may that encourage and comfort us. Amen.